Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Is there anything that God cannot do? In fact, the Lord having a conversation with Jeremiah, he asked him that question. I am the God of all flesh, the Lord asked. Is there anything that I cannot do? Ha! Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And Jeremiah turned around and said, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for you. There is nothing too hard. There is no mountain he cannot move. I want us to go into prayers this morning. I just feel led to call that time of prayer. Raise your voices and acknowledge his awesome power over your lives, over your children, over your loved ones, over your grandchildren, over your brethren. There is nothing that he cannot do. Let's pray. Glory to God.
Lord, there's nothing you cannot do. We acknowledge you this morning. You are God of the heavens and the earth. There is nothing that you cannot do.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah, the Lord heard all your declarations this morning. And, you know, when you tell the Lord like that, he flexes his arms. And you tell him, there is nothing you cannot do. And he'll stand up on your behalf and flex his arms. Yeah? Show you his mighty power by his holy hand. Psalm said, thy right hand and thy holy arm has gotten him the victory. Psalms, he spoke about that. You know, Isaiah, he spoke about it. He said, the Lord has sworn by the strength of his arm, by his holy arm. I mean, it's kind of like he flexes his muscles. I mean, I said one time, I said, look, how can you get into an arm wrestling match with the Lord? Can you out wrestle him? And you out wrestle him and pull his arm down, because he said, the right hand of my holiness by the strength of my arm. Praise the Lord. God bless everyone. Thank you for joining this morning. We are going to get into the lesson. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Before we get into today's lesson, I just felt that moving of the Spirit. Let me just give this quick word right here. You know, Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32, Jeremiah was talking to the Lord. He said in Jeremiah chapter 32, and he said in verse 17, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. Yeah, that's that hand, that's that power, that's that arm of the Lord right there. And there is nothing too hard for thee. You know, what you tell the Lord about his greatness is exactly what he will tell you back. You know, and Jeremiah said that to the Lord in verse 17. And you drop down here to verse 27. And the Lord said to Jeremiah exactly the same thing. Said, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Praise the Lord. You know, so when you tell the Lord of his greatness, it's not that he doesn't know, but you tell him. You tell him how great he is. You tell him, art thou not he that hath cut down the dragon, dried up the Red Sea, piled up the water on either side, and made the ransom of the Lord to go through on dry land? Art thou not he that hath done that? You begin to call out the things that even in your own life, not just the Bible, but in your own life, when you begin to call it out like that, and you begin to tell him, the Lord will say, yeah, I am he, and there is none else. Glory to God. And he will stand up on your behalf, and he will show you even greater and mighty things. Thank you, Jesus. He said to Jeremiah, he said, call unto me. You thought I am the Lord that can do all things, and I am the God of all flesh, and I am that, and then some. And then he told Jeremiah 33:3, he said, call unto me. You know, what you've seen before, that's nothing. I'm going to show you even greater things. See, that's how the Lord responds when you tell him of his greatness. You tell him of how great he is, you know, hallelujah. And then the Lord, he will respond. He will stand up like a man of war. He will be wrath. He will cry like a lion that is stirred up. He will roar with a voice. He will thunder with a voice from heaven. Coals of fire will be kindled before him. He sent forth his word and he grabbed me, the psalmist said, and he lifted me out of the miry clay. In fact, the Lord, he said, he sent forth lightnings and discomfited all my enemies. My goodness, the earth shook and trembled at the sight of the Lord rising up on my behalf. Well, can your prayer do that? You know, that's what I ask. Do you have that kind of clout with God that you can pray and cause God to respond with a voice of thunder? Hallelujah. Can you do it? You know, Psalm 81 and verse 7 says, I will answer you from the secret place of thunder. That's right. I'll answer you in the thunders. Well, you know, yeah, that is a kind of prayer though that makes God to do that. It's not every prayer, I guarantee you. But there is a kind of prayer, that makes God to respond back with thunders. You know, that's the kind of prayer that tells God how great he is. You know, that you exalt him and you tell him. When Hezekiah was in trouble, you know, from all the chiding of Sennacherib and so forth, he went to the Lord. And he said, thou art the God, the very God that sitteth between the cherubims. Now, all those other gods of the nations that they cast into fire, they were no gods, but the work of men's hands. Therefore, they have cast them into the fire. But thou art the God, the very God. Now, therefore, O Lord, show forth thy mighty power, that all the earth may know that you are that God. When you pray that kind of prayer, ladies and gentlemen, I guarantee you, you know, God will respond. Thou callest in trouble, and I deliver thee, and I answer thee in the secret place of thunder. When you pray, that kind of prayer, God will respond from thunder place, thunderous upon your enemies and upon all the things that, buffeting you, and he would discomfit all of them. Thank you, Jesus. So remember, let's always exalt his name and make his name glorious. Let's tell him how great his power is and put him on notice. That's right. And then I look, you know, you are the God that have done all these things. And remind him. That's what the Lord said. He said, remind me. Tell me of these things. And when you tell him, you've done those things and you are the one that does these things. And listen, you know. Let the people know when you make it about God being jealous for his name. Yeah, that's the kind of prayer that moves God more so than anything else. You know, Hezekiah didn't pray and say, Lord, deliver us from the hand of this Sennacherib so that our wives will not become widows, so that our children will not become fatherless, so that our land will not be destroyed. Well, I mean, all of those things are good prayers, but it's not the kind that makes God send forth an angel to destroy your enemies. The one that when you say that all the people may know, when you make it about God defending his own name, that's the kind of the one. I mean, he'll respond to any kind of prayer, but the way he responds is different. You know, when you make it about him defending his own name and getting him renowned again and again, even as he had done before, my goodness, he will stand up on your behalf. Praise the Lord. I am going to pray over the room and get into today's lesson. I'm so excited. You know, I can go on and on about the greatness of God's power. Can you feel him this morning? That's right. And you feel his presence hovering over you this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you this morning. We love your name. The name of Jesus, highly exalted. That name that is given. Bible says there's no other name given unto us whereby we must be saved. And that name has been highly exalted above every name. And at the name of Jesus, demons would tremble. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for that name. And that name is over us, in front of us, around us, ahead of us as our banner. We will set up our banners in the name of the Lord. Glory to God. And in his name we will trust. His name is a strong tower for the righteous. We will run into it and we will be safe. Lord, today let your name, the very name that we have taken, that name that is upon us, let it be seen even by principalities and powers that the name of the Lord is upon these people. And defend that name for yourself, O Lord. Even as you said, for my name's sake, I will defend this city. Ha! Makatoniri alabashu. For thy great name's sake, Lord, defend thy people upon whom thy name has been named. For the Bible says that all the families in heaven, Ephesians 3 and 15, you know, are named by the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we bow our knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. His name is upon us. Now, Lord, grant unto us according to the riches of your glory, that we will be strengthened with might by your spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we may be rooted and grounded in love, and that we may be able to comprehend the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and the know the love of God in Christ Jesus, which passes understanding, and that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church. Unto him be glory even here and walking with God by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father, for the entrance of your word that gives light. Let that light shine in our hearts this morning, giving us revelation and understanding. And let the joy of the Lord be our strength here this morning. In Jesus' name, thank you for the inspiration of the Almighty. Glory to God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, welcome again, everyone. Today we are finishing up the chapter 3 of the book of James. And we're going to be reading verses 13 through the end. Yesterday we covered the first 12 verses, and we dealt with the electric tongue, an unruly evil, that deadly tongue. We dealt with that, you know, and I said I will come back and do the attributes, pleasant words and so forth, and I will do that, you know, but I'm going to just quickly read the I'm going to through the end of this chapter. Then I will go and finish up with pleasant words and then see how much time I have to go into the attributes of wisdom, or push that off till tomorrow. I might do that. So let me read. Let me talk quickly about the other flip side of the tongue. This is the tongue that has now been tamed. The tongue originally could not be tamed. It was wild, you know. It was just unruly. It was contained deadly poison and so forth. It was not tamed and could not be tamed by anybody until the tongues of fire from the altar touched that tongue. The Holy Ghost come on in there, branded that tongue. You know, Isaiah showed us that. And then the next thing we know, his mouth was now, instructed in righteousness. You know, those unclean lips now become righteous instruments for God. Those bitter words turn into pleasantness. Praise the Lord. You know, so I'm going to, let me cover that first. And if I have enough time, then I'll go to the other thing. But if not, we'll push that out till tomorrow. But let's talk about pleasant words to complement, what we talked about, the negative side of the tongue before, you know. So in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, we read, there's a lot of things in the book of Proverbs, by the way, that we read about, you know, the tongue and the using your mouth, how to speak and what not to speak. We talked about yesterday, even backbiting, tail bearing, and all these things, and how to, I think towards the end there, I was talking about, how to be a part of the solution to this tail bearing thing, and rather than being a part of the problem, you know. And there's a verse, I don't think I read this yesterday. Let me just read that now. Proverbs 25 and 23. Again, talking about how do you handle, you know. Now, we already dealt with ourselves, right? We said, Lord, tame my tongue and help me, and so on and so forth. And we've dealt with that. Now, how do you handle those who haven't dealt with it? you know, and then someone, a tailbearer and so forth, comes to you, don't be a part of that. This is what you do. Proverbs 25 and 23 say, "The north, as the north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue." So when they come to you with stories that you don't need to hear, and you frown on that, an angry countenance, well, you're going to drive them away. Don't give them a platform. Let's not be a part of that. You know, don't be an accomplice to this thing. You know, a backbiting tongue and a tailbearer needs an audience. You know, so and we don't want to be a part of that. You know, so you frown your face at that. You tell them, "I don't need to hear that, and I don't want to hear that, and I will be no part of that." You know, you have no business telling me that. That's right. I don't care if it's your best friend. I don't care if it's the closest person to you. You tell it to them like that, straight. You know, just like Jesus called out the devil in Peter when Peter was trying to discourage him from going to the cross. "Peter, get thee behind me, Satan." That's right. You know, you call it out, you discourage it by frowning on it. You know, so that's one more lesson to go with yesterday's lesson. We talked about gossip and tailbearing. There are wounds that go down to the soul. Proverbs 18, 7 and 8. We talked about, you know, all the various scriptures that we read yesterday. This is just a quick roundup. And the Lord will show you also that repeating a matter that does not belong to you can separate very friends. We read that yesterday. Proverbs 17 and verse 9. "He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends." And you start repeating something that should leave alone, you know, something that, you know, just leave it alone. When you begin to repeat it to someone else, you can bring a division. It's called a sowing discord among brethren. These are part of the things, you know, that the Lord hates and so forth, you know, so. We read many of these things yesterday. "Thou shalt not go up and down," Leviticus 19 and 16, "as a tailbearer among your brethren," and so on. You know, and we ourselves learning, you know, how to control that tongue. Well, let's look at the positive side of the tongue today. You know, let's look at that positive side. The positive side of the tongue is, you know, can be a tree of life. The Bible says, Proverbs chapter 15, you know, and verse 4. Let's look at that. It said, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life." You know, so let's keep that wholesomeness. Let's not bring any perverseness into it, because that will be a breach in the spirit. But let the tongue be wholesome. And when it's wholesome like that, and it always has wholesome words, you know, it is a blessing. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24. It talks about, you know, the honeycomb is sweet to the soul. That's right. You know, even as the honeycomb is sweet, well, you can look at it that way. So also is the sweetness of pleasant words. It's a pleasant word as an honeycomb. Sweet to the soul and health to the bones. So when we use our words and we speak pleasant words, not only to others, but over yourself, you know, it'll bring health to your bones. You know, so you see how powerful pleasant words can be. We talked about power of life and death in the tongue. We talked about that yesterday. This is the life part that we are speaking. We spoke the death part yesterday and how to get away from it. But now we're talking about, you know, the beautiful part of this, how you can use this tongue to be a blessing. Bless and curse not, the scripture says. I mean, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 26, there are many scriptures that encourage us to use our tongues in the right way. He said, "The words of the pure are pleasant words. The thoughts of the wicked are abomination unto the Lord. But the words of the pure are pleasant words." And we can do pleasantness. We can be intentional about using pleasant words. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, you know, it calls it out. I mean, this is perhaps, you know, one of the best ways that it calls it out. He said, look, you know, be intentional about how you speak. That means be intentional about it. Direct your speech in a way that is always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You know, when the people say that, you know, there is a downcasting over them and so forth, but you come on in there and you bring, you know, a lifting up. You know, that's what we do. We must be children and sons of encouragement to bring a lifting up like that. Praise the Lord. How can we bring that lifting up? Unless we ourselves know how to speak words of encouragement. Scripture says, speaking to yourselves and admonish yourself in psalms and hymns and so forth, and making melody in your hearts. We use the word of God. You speak it to ourselves so that when others are cast down, you can speak it to them as well. Job chapter 22 and verse 29 says, when men are cast down, then you will say there is a lifting up. There is a lifting up. The story of Joseph when he was cast into prison, you know, after the accusation of Potiphar's wife, and he met the baker and the butler of Pharaoh there. And in his rounds, of course, he had favor for the warden, and they put him in charge. And in his rounds, he met these two others. And, you know, as he went day by day, he met them. And one day, he noticed that their countenances were saddened. And see, that empathy and compassion, and even the reaching out to them, was actually what led Joseph to eventually be, you know, restored out of that prison and eventually stand before Pharaoh. Because he said to them, why, you know, do you look so sadly today? Why your countenance is falling? He had care and he wanted to, you know what was going on. Now, that's a little digression, but I want to say this, you know, that if Joseph hadn't have asked that question, those guys would not have told him the dream. And they would not have known, at least the one that was, you know, the dream fell to in a positive way, would not have known that there is a man that can tell dreams and can bring the interpretation. He would not have known that. But he started by Joseph caring and listening to them and say, wow, why look you so sadly today? You know, what's going on? I mean, your countenances are falling. So let's be sensitive in the spirit. You know, let's reach out to others. Let's give pleasant words. Say, it is well. Praise God. He said, my brother, it is well. The Lord will give you an answer of peace. You know, and you say those things. But that's what the first thing that Pharaoh heard from Joseph when Joseph came out of prison. Pharaoh began to say, well, I've heard of you said that you can interpret dreams and so on. And there is no secret hidden before thee. Can you tell of this dream? And Pharaoh said, the Lord will give Pharaoh. I mean, Joseph said, the Lord will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. That's right. You know, so we also, you know, must always, you know, speak positive things. For when people are discouraged, when people are fainting, when people are in despair, when people are about to give up, and you come on in there and you encourage them with your words, you know, instead of our words being like a stinger, that, you know, that do harm and just go into the, you know, soul and the wounds, you know, said grievous words can be a wound like that. Instead of that, well, why don't we use the honeycomb style of speaking? Bring a pleasant speech and so forth. And remember, we are told in the scriptures that our words are so powerful. You are ensnared by the own words, even for yourself. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 2. You yourself are ensnared. Speak positive things over yourself. Speak positive things over your children. Speak positive things over your brethren. You know, let's not do all these negative things. Let these things not come out of our mouth. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Don't let it be. But, you know, that which will minister grace to the hearers. Ministering grace to the hearers, very important. A word fitly spoken. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11. Now, at this point, he's becoming a bit poetic. I mean, he's looking, you know, say, look, a word that is fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, if you appreciate fine art, you know, and they put those things together like that, you know, pictures of silver, apples of gold. I mean, it's so soothing. It's so appealing to the eyes. He said, well, a word that is fitly spoken also can be like that, but let it be pleasant words. Hallelujah. Pleasant words, you know, and, throughout the Bible, we see people learning even how to pray about their words. We see people learning even how to declare, you know, their words, you know, and so forth. I mean, listen to this in the book of Deuteronomy. I mean, let's see all the, you know, how are the various ways that you can declare the word of God. Give air, O ye heavens, Deuteronomy 32, and I will speak, you know, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. I mean, what kind of thing do you bring? You know, can your speech distill as the dew? I mean, can it bring showers upon the grass? Can it bring soothing? So I will publish the name of the Lord. And when I ascribe greatness, you know, can your speech be like this? You know, can what you say, you know, even in delivering the word of God and so forth, you know, Paul wrote, he said, look, and as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the body of Christ. You know, when we, anything we do, it's not, you know, even those of us who are in ministry, you know, it's not for our own selves. You know, some people forget that, you know, it is for the brethren, you know, and it is for the household of faith and for the body of Christ. So what we do, when we do it, what you say, when you say it, you know, do it for to bring grace to people. When you are zealous of spiritual gifts, well, you want to speak, well, let it be, you know, for blessing to others. Let it be for grace to others. Let it not be, you know, just we do anything anyhow. You know, listen to this. Even so ye, as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, he said it. 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. Seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church, even in your words. Let your words be words of encouragement. That's why by the grace of God, we come out on this platform all the time and try to bring encouragement. You know, don't be a downer. Praise God. Be an encourager. Hallelujah. And listen to it, even how, you know, Isaiah, and you know, that's one of our favorite characters in that Bible as well. You know, Isaiah is one place along with the Psalms that I go when I'm looking for a lifter upper. Praise the Lord. And Isaiah said in the book of Isaiah 50 verse 4, the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. That's right. Now, can you make that your prayer today? Lord, give me the tongue of the learned. Let me know how to speak a word in season to everyone that is weary that I come in contact with. Let my words be words of a lifter upper. You know, when people are down, that I will say that's a lifting up. When people are discouraged, that I will say it is well, and God will give you an answer of peace. I mean, these are prayers that we should make, you know, and, you know, help change the way we use our words. Proverbs chapter chapter 10, you know, talks about the tongue, you know, of the Lord. I mean, sorry, of the just is as choice silver. I mean, there is a way that they use their words, you know, use their words. You can read that in, you know, we read the negative part of it yesterday, Proverbs 10:19, saying the multitude of words that wanted not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise, you know. So, but the next verse says, the tongue of the just is as choice silver, you know. I mean, my goodness, you know, they know how to bring a blessing in their words. They bring a blessing. You know, here's wisdom of how to control, you know, our mouth. Okay, we talk about, you know, controlling that tongue. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13 will tell you, look, don't shoot from the hip. You know, pretty much, you know, you answer a matter before you even hear it. Say it's folly and shame unto him. You know, so, you know, be quiet before the Lord, you know, and, the scripture says, you know, even, you know, sometimes even a fool, when they, you know, hold their peace, you know, they might be considered wise. You know, when you keep your mouth short sometimes, especially when you don't know what to say, well, then keep your mouth shut. You know, according to Proverbs 17 and 28, you know, it said, even a fool is considered wise if he remains silent, if he knows how to keep his mouth shut. But rather than keep your mouth shut. Now, well, keep your mouth shut when you don't need to respond, you know, to something that triggers anger in you. Keep your mouth shut. But you can also use your mouth to be a blessing. Now, if vitriolic and angry and bitter words that will wound will come out of your mouth, it's better to keep your mouth shut. But if you can, you know, curate words of blessings and healing from your mouth, then speak grace, speak life to people. You know, I mean, here's a prayer, you know, just like, you know, we saw that, you know, Isaiah and all these people are declaring that my tongue should be a tongue of blessing. There's a prayer that the psalmist prayed. Well, let's take a look at it in Psalm 141. Let's look at verses 3 and 4, I think. You know, he says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. You know, help me to not incline my heart to every evil thing. You know, remember, Jesus said, look, out of the heart comes all these things that come out of your mouth. They come from the heart. And so the psalmist is praying, said, look, Lord, let the words of my mouth, you know, help me put a watch on it, put a seal on my mouth, you know, instead of my mouth running off, you know, put a seal, let my mouth bring forth goodness and so forth. You know, in the book of Revelation chapter 14, verse 5, there is a quality of, you know, some of the overcomers that are around Christ. They're called first fruits unto him. They said in their mouth was found no guile, you know. No guile. They use their mouth not for evil. No negative thing is in their mouth. Revelation, 14 and verse 5 say, and in their mouth was found no guile. And they are without fault before the throne of God. Remember, James was saying, look, you want to be a perfect man? Control that mouth. And this verse right here is saying the same thing. In their mouth, there was no guile. And they are without fault. So the being without guile in your mouth can actually make you faultless. Same thing like James was saying. And they are before the throne of God. Now, powerful stuff. Let's read a few more things about, you know, how we should pray. You know, I'm talking now about what do you do then to get a hold and get control, you know, over this electric tongue that can be so devastating sometimes in the things that he says. Well, we got to pray. And we got to declare the word of God. We got to declare grace and so forth. You know, this is how we do it. Let the words of my mouth, the psalmist said, Psalm 19 and verse 14, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, that's a prayer that we should pray like that. Pray that the Lord will help you to change your speaking and so forth. Who shall abide, the psalmist asks in Psalm 15, verse 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? And who shall dwell, you know, in that holy place? You know, who can do it? Well, what does he say? He said, he that walketh uprightly and walketh righteously and speaketh the truth in his heart and that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor speaketh any reproach against his neighbor. So you can see that, look, the person that has figured out how to control his tongue, does not yield to backbiting, tail bearing, and all these things, they are blessed. They are the ones that can dwell with the devouring fire. They are the ones that can enter into the presence of God, because they put away all these things from their mouth. You know, their mouth has been, you know, branded by the tongues of fire from the Holy Ghost altar. That's right. And now they are speaking life. They are not speaking evil. You know, they've learned how to put that tongue, you know, in its place. Psalms 24, we read in verse 3, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Well, or stand in his holy place, you know, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So cleansing even our heart with the word of God constantly, well, that will help us to, you know, improve, you know, the things that come out of our mouth. James tells us in James chapter 1, you know, verses 19 and 20, which we read several days ago. He said, look, we need to be quick to hear and slow to speak. But the slowness of speech doesn't mean that you're a fool. You know, that muscle, it means actually that you're wise. You keep your mouth, you watch your words, you weigh them before you say them. You know, and then, you know, the scripture considers you, you know, wise when you do that. You know, rather than we just speak, you know, we all need to work, you know, on that. So be slow to speak, you know, but swift to hear. And also be slow to wrath and be slow to anger. You know, we're told these things. Praise the Lord. You know, he said, look, if any man seemeth to be religious, James chapter 1, verse 26, or pious or anything, and doesn't know how to bridle his own tongue, then he deceiveth his own heart. That's James 1 and 26. So many scriptures, and in a moment we're going to pray, but I want to read a few more here. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28. Just want to reemphasize this thing for us. That look, you know, the mouth of the wicked will pour out evil things, but the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. You know, so this is part of the, you know, slow to speak. Study the matter. Don't answer before you even hear it. Study, you know, the thing. You know, take your time before you respond, because choose your words carefully so those words can be a blessing to the hearer. You know, the heart of the righteous who studieth to answer doesn't just pour out the evil things out of his mouth. He will, you know, study to answer, because, you know, that's the, you know, that's the way that he will use his mouth. He has committed that mouth to the Holy Spirit for the work of cleansing and the work of regeneration. And now he's going to speak words of life. Hallelujah. That's what he's going to speak. Pleasant words can be like a honeycomb, and it can be even a tree of life. Praise God. What is a tree of life? Well, you know, the Bible talks about it in Genesis, talks about it in Revelation. Even healing, you know, comes from even the leaves. So, you know, pleasant words can bring healing over hurt that people have had in their lives. They are pleasant words can be as a honeycomb and as a tree of life. Isn't that wonderful? So let's think of that today. Let's pray that the Lord will help us, you know, to use our words right, to be able to speak grace, say that I might know how to answer him that is weary when people are going through stuff, you know. Let's be encouragers and be an encourager to even yourself. Praise the Lord. You know, so don't be a downer, but be an encourager. Let's choose our words to be words of blessing. You know, there are many examples in the Bible that we have read, and even God encouraging people. Say, hey, you know, it is well with you and it shall be well. Say ye to the righteous, you know, the Lord said to us. He said, say to him that it is well with him and it is well with you too. Praise the Lord. And it will be well with you. And that's what we want to say to you today. It is well with you and it shall be well with you. And we are going to take some prayer right now to just ask the Lord to help us with our words and help us with our tongue, that we can experience, you know, something like Isaiah experienced, wherein he got that branding of his tongue. You know, so let's see how the Lord can help us. So today, as we pray before him, I want to pray over the room first, you know, and then each of us will also pray. The short lesson today is for us to direct our words into pleasantness. Direct our words that it can be like choice silver. Direct our words, you know, that they can become, you know, like even a tree of life. That's right. How can that be? Well, only the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit can do that work in us, that work of righteousness. The Holy Spirit is the one that can do it, and he can do it too. But we have to trust him. Praise the Lord. We need to trust him that he can do it for us. Praise God. So pleasant words are a tree of life. And Father, I want to pray over the room this morning that pleasant, our words will become pleasant and that they'll be like a tree of life. I pray over the room this morning that our words will become like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul. I pray this morning, Lord, that you teach us, give us the tongue of the learned, that we may know how to answer everyone that is weary, to answer them with words of grace, to answer them with words that bring soothing, in the name of Jesus, that our words will be a lifter upper rather than a downer, in the name of Jesus. I pray also that you would teach us to be slow to speak, myself first. I need that as well, to not jump off, you know, and not be too quick to speak, but slow to speak and swift to hear. I pray, Lord, that each of us will receive this grace today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And help us to be intentional in bringing grace to others. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that our words, you know, will be chosen right. That even our hearts will become cleansed. The Bible said the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, the Holy Spirit can know it. And the Holy Spirit can change that heart and cleave us a pure heart. You know, that out of it may come treasures. Like choice silver and blessings to people in the name of Jesus. And I pray also, Lord, that you teach us to use our words right for ourselves, declaring the word of God over our own situations, calling for all things that are not even as though they are already, and never speaking anything negative, you know, into the air. Because the Lord said, as you have spoken in my ears, even so will I do unto you. Teach us these things, O Lord. In the name of Jesus. And today we thank you because you have taught us. We thank you for the experience. I pray that everybody would experience a Holy Ghost branding of their tongue and their lips even this morning. And if you are given to much speaking, well, scale that back, saith the Lord. That's right. And the Lord said, why didn't you trust me with that? You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, that's, you know, I am like that and so forth. Well, maybe, but the Lord can help you with that. There is nothing he cannot do. He can help you even with the angry spirit. He can help you, you know, with the your quick and sharp tongue that's always trying to have the last word. He can help you with all of that. The Bible said that Jesus, as a lamb, was dumb before his shearer, so he spoke nothing before even his accusers. He just showed us how to do it, you know. Hallelujah. God, teach us to be more like that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And above all, teach us to use this mouth in praising the Lord and in witnessing for Christ. Be a witness. To be a witness, we must speak the word of God. But they cannot have faith unless they hear the word. And they cannot be saved without faith. So, Lord, I pray that you give us a rounded understanding of this lesson today in the name of Jesus. Rather than our tongues being source of vitriolic and poisonous words, our tongues will be a source of peace and honeycomb and tree of life and pleasantness and an uplifting to those that hear it in Jesus' name. Seasoned with grace and salt, and know how to answer every man. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.